Hey there, friends, it's Nick. Now, I'm recording this at just about 6 p.m. on a Sunday. It'll go out on a Monday, but I'm recording it the day before, and I don't know, I've been in quite a grump this afternoon, and it's because I've spent most of the day thinking about whether or not to change my car, and if so, how to change it. So my car, about a year ago, 18 months ago, entered... You'll know this, it entered what I call the kind of the death spiral, where suddenly, magically, cars go from being basically okay to, you know, bits start falling off them. You start getting warning lights and engine lights and stuff like that. And this morning I was on a short trip and about three different warning things went off on this trip. And it's not, you know, just to be clear, I don't think that these things are all a problem, but I think the electrics are starting to get screwed up in my car. And that's one of various reasons. Sometimes the stereo doesn't work, the Bluetooth doesn't work. And to be honest, a car without a stereo is, as far as I'm concerned, basically a lump of metal. So anyway, I'm stuck with this dilemma. You know, do I change it? Do I try and fix it? If I change it, how am I going to change it? There's lots of complexity in this question for me, because for one thing, over the past few years, my driving needs have massively changed. Now, the car that I've got at the moment, I think it's a 2013 car, which I bought in, I think, 2017, secondhand, because by that point I was working from home and I wasn't doing as many miles. It was basically just ferrying the kids around on the odd trip to the shops or whatever. But now we're not really ferrying the kids around anymore. Jack's off in Leeds. Abby's finished her college, so she'll be off to university in the autumn. So apart from those sort of relatively long trips to, you know, to take their stuff and dump it in another city, again, I'm just not really using the car. I mean, I guess theoretically, I could be using it more at some point, but in practice, we're a family that still needs two cars, just about. You know, we talked about whether or not we could go down to one, or whether it was worth going down to one, but Wendy's working every day, so at the moment it makes sense for me to have one. But then the next question is, how much do I want to spend on a car that I'm barely going to use? I mean, I think last year, and admittedly we've been in lockdown, but actually from my point of view that wasn't that different. Last year I think I did about 2,500 miles the whole year. So how much money do you want to spend on something that's just going to depreciate? Do you know what I mean? And the reason I'm telling you this is because you are getting a fraction, a sliver of all the sort of the scenarios and the stories that I'm telling myself in my mind. And what that all adds up to is this kind of ball of knitting, this complexity, which is causing me to slightly go out of my mind, but certainly get kind of grumpy about it. Because, you know, if money wasn't an object, it would be an easy decision. I'd just get, I don't know, a Tesla or something. But I'm weighing off all these things because there's lots of good things to put money into. We'll shortly have two kids in university, you know, so that's a bit of an investment, right there. So I'm trying to optimize something with lots of unknowns, and I don't enjoy that. In fact, humans don't enjoy that. And the reason I'm telling you this is because it just reminded me how important it is to give when we're selling something, when we're telling our story and we're asking people to tell themselves a story about their future if they buy our product, our service, our idea, whatever it might be. It's really important to not only give them simple options, but also to, if you can, give them an option that's a no-brainer. And that's one of the reasons why when I'm talking to clients about pricing their work, in fact, when I price my own work, I talked about this before, very often I'll give them three options. One will be a relatively full-on, high price, everything done for them, you know, a high anchor. One will be a kind of cheapest price, but it's, you know, it's obviously a, probably less than they would ideally like. And then something in the middle that is a kind of a no-brainer kind of option. And, you know, this afternoon, I was on a lot here in the UK looking at a car, and I had a test drive of a car. And it's a car that I'm probably going to buy, but I almost bought it there and then just to get rid of this headache, you know, just to get rid of this sort of psychological complexity and torment. And I think, you know, I'm overstating it slightly for dramatic purposes, but actually only slightly, because I would just, I've been thinking about this on and off for weeks and months. And really, do you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to shelve it, and I'm prepared to pay a reasonable amount of money just to get this off my plate so I can think about things that are more interesting. Now, the reason I didn't buy it is because at the end, just at the point where I was about to do it, the dealer introduced some complexity, and it turned out that the spec of the car wasn't exactly right on the website, and I'd made this mental purchase that I'd made for this amount of money, I backed out of it on the, in that moment, because it actually wasn't quite what I thought it was. So again, you know, there's a real lesson here. There's a real lesson here. When people are confused, when people are unsettled, they don't buy. And, you know, I mean, there are some salesmen, some tactics that use uncertainty and anxiety, obviously, to sell things. But in general, we're dealing with people through websites, we're dealing with them online rather than face to face. And where there's confusion, where there's anxiety, very often people default to their natural answer. And of course, the default natural answer is no. Hey, that turned into quite a long podcast, but there you are. That's why today a story didn't mean business. Thanks for listening.